On the contrary, I don't think we ever got so tired of sitting as 3 long weeks of just sitting. But with our overseas policy conference with the fellows from overseas, and then the third week, the men coming in from the areas, it accomplished, I believe, what we had hoped it would accomplish and more. Let me put it this way. It accomplished more than I thought, but not exactly what I thought it would accomplish. For instance, I thought we'd make a few more specific decisions than we did, but I see that we got at things far more basic than I ever dreamed we would get into. We really went into it. And one of the great purposes, of course, was to call these fellows home, and with those who were here, to benefit from the years of experience, prayer, and thought. This was our main purpose, so that we might gather together their experience and their thought on which to have a broader, firmer base on which to make decisions. And if you didn't think we got their thought, there it is. Page after page, and this is not verbatim either. Extremely valuable material in this. Sorry, that's not open to the public. That's a restricted document, because I don't know if each particular fellow has gone through it and said, yes, I'll sign my name to what I was recorded to have said. But at any rate, I'll give you some briefs on the thing anyway. And this is something I think we're going to want to do in the future. Some of you may wonder, well, now, do you fellas sit over there in the office and have a sort of little closed little circle, and you kind of make the decisions there and run the work, and the rest of us fit into the situation? Well, the facts are that we are constantly trying to figure out ways of utilizing the brains and the hearts of all the people we possibly can to bear on the thing that the Lord has given us to do. Here's a fellow out here, he's working with men. Well, he's studying, he's praying, he's learning some things that he can share and that the rest of us can use and benefit by. Over here, there's Sparks and his fellows in Europe, and they're studying and benefiting. And we want to, trying to figure out ways of getting the benefit of this together and distilling it and then sharing it with others. And this particular series of little talks I have lined up on Glen Eyrie Nights is an attempt to help. Just share some of these things. Part of this may be tedious to some of you. I don't know. But be that as it may, that'll be good discipline too. I would say also that sitting around the table and talking like we did, very straightforwardly and open-heartedly and exceptionally so at times, it brought us much closer together. We really got to know one another, I believe. And still love one another. More than ever, as a result. But you know, when you get to know a man's heart, and you get to know his mind and his thinking, that's absolutely basic. If our thinking is together, and our hearts are together, we don't have to worry about what that fellow will do out there. We know that he'll put his shoulder to the wheel to carry out the objective. And we've said that we're trying to build in the navigators, not people who just know how to read a book and follow directions, but people who can think. And who have in their hearts what we feel to be from God, and therefore will, whether they're attached to the navigators officially or not, will just carry these things out and make decisions in the light of what they feel is from God for them. So you're thinking. And when I say thinking, we started in what is God's great purpose in the world, his long-range objectives. What is God doing in the world today? What is his chief means for accomplishing his work in the world today? How do we relate? Is there a scriptural basis for a fellowship of people such as the navigators outside a local church? If so, what is it? If there's a scriptural basis, then what is the ministry to which God has particularly called the navigators? In the light of contemporary situation in the world today, in the light of the history of the navigator work, and in the light of the inner conviction of the Holy Spirit. Then we went on from there to then what is the overall objective of the navigators? Well, on the topics I've just mentioned, I guess it's safe to say we spent, the first week? We had some other guests here, but we really went into this. I thought this would be a two-day proposition. And, of course, it broadened and sharpened the vision of all of us. For instance, we have discovered we don't know much about producing reproducers. I'll get into that in a little bit. We discovered, for instance, and I'll just toss this out, that we're more interested in the long range in key men than we are in Timothy's. What? That's what I thought. That's a new thought to me. You can chew on that a few weeks till I get to it, if I do. How come? But I'll tell you something else that helped us to do. It was a great help to distrust pat answers. We would come up with something on the agenda and we'd say, well, this will only be about 15 minutes. Then somebody bring in this point and that point, and we find it was far more complex a situation than we thought. So we still have some cliches, but we're a little more careful with them at any rate. And to tell you what I learned through those weeks would take a couple Glenary nights. Now, I'm not starting where we started. Instead, I am going to start with the objective of the navigators. What is the overall objective of the navigators? And I express my appreciation to Roy Robertson, who's dug this out for me, so I could have the basic material that we have on this subject from this great big dictionary that I showed you here. And particularly, on the outset here, the historical review of the history of the navigators as a guide as to what the Lord may want the navigators to do today. Now, you know, in determining the Lord's will, there are a number of things, but there are three things basically, I think. One is the Word of God. Two is providential circumstances. And three is that inner conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so these are the three things mainly we looked for to determine what God wants the navigators to do. And what we tried to do was to divorce ourselves of what we have commonly said was our purpose and to rethink it from the beginning and see where we ended up. Now, Jim Downing brought out, did a paper. We had several papers prepared, and this one was on the historical background of the navigators as it relates to today's objectives. And this formed the basis for what we are talking about. And I want to just give you some of the points on this. Background. Dawson believed that something which could be done was not being done, or the Great Commission would be nearer fulfillment. As he looked around the world and he saw the number of people that had not yet heard the gospel, he assumed that there must be something that wasn't being done that could be done. And he offered himself to the Lord that whatever God would have him to do, he'd be willing to do it. And at that time, he didn't know what that was, but he offered himself to the Lord for it. And then came the six-week prayer meeting, which you've heard about, in which Dawson, a prayer buddy, put a finger on countries of the world on a map before them and asked God to raise up men in these countries, in this country, in that country, and prayed for them by name. And during those days, there were certain great promises from the Scripture, particularly like Isaiah 58:12, Isaiah 45:14. I'm not going to take time to read these. Isaiah 43:4-8. That he felt that God, the Holy Spirit, had impressed upon his heart. And those of you who knew Dawson would know that there was something about his manner that wasn't cocky, but there was an assurance that God was going to do something. Because I remember one time it was in Minneapolis, and I was with him at a conference. And one evening we were talking, and I said, you know, Doss, you strike me as giving the air of a man who feels he's a man of destiny. Well, he said, I never thought of it like that. But he said, I do know this, that God has given me some promises that he impressed upon my heart way back there, some of which I've seen fulfilled. Already some are being fulfilled, and others that I know that will. And I have often said that I feel that the real reason that there's a navigator work today is not because of any principles, any Bible study methods. It's because certain promises were claimed in prayer before God. And what we have seen has been the outworking of those promises. Well, now Jim brought out that there are five building stones for the Navigator ministry. And the illustration of an arch, which I'm not going to draw here, but maybe I should have. But the first of all is the Word of God. This became the foundation stone of the Navigator work. Doss grew up in a period when liberalism flourished and evangelism was at its low ebb, and the leaders who really emphasized and lived by the Word of God, the Bible, were few. And Doss took God at His Word, the Bible. I wonder how long since you have read the little book, Great is Thy Faithfulness, Dawson's message called The Need of the Hour. We have it, as you know. This gets right to the heart of what I'm talking about at this point. In fact, I just put it in my briefcase so I can reread it again this weekend. Then the second thing is a disciplined life. First was the Word of God. The first 3 years of his life, Doss learned a verse a day. Then there was a disciplined life. Getting up in the morning to meet the Lord. Purposing to never let a day go by but what he witnessed to someone about Christ. And actually some nights getting up out of bed, because he realized that he hadn't, getting up out of bed, dressing, getting in his car, going looking for somebody to witness. I think a story is all the way along here, but I'll keep going. So this disciplined life. I remember the night that Dawson died. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma with the Graham team, and Billy had asked me to stay and not come back here till the next day. So I rode with him and Cliff Barrows and Grady Wilson from Tulsa back to Oklahoma City. And we stopped along the road to get a bite to eat. Well, Billy was telling me what he thought of Dawson. And he says, when I think of Dawson, I think of the disciplined life. And I remember we got out of the car, and he was still telling what his impressions of Dawson. And I can see him yet. He said, Dawson's a man of discipline. We need discipline. You thought there were 10,000 people there. Were you? Dawson would say, no, no, no. You know how Billy could bring it out there. And that's the thing that is uppermost in his mind as he thought of Dawson, the navigators. Discipline. And he said he wanted Dawson's picture, and he has it in his study back home to remind him of the discipline Christian life. Then the third thing, as Jim brought out, was evangelism. That out of this, the outgrowth of strength in the Word and the disciplined life, came personal evangelism, and I've just mentioned. Not a day going by, but what someone is witness to about Christ. Chaplain John Bennett, the first Protestant chaplain of the Air Academy, said that when he thinks of the navigators, that which is outstanding is their personal witness. I've had men tell me, one pastor, for instance, Bob Thiem in Houston, he said, I consider the navigators as experts in personal evangelism. Well, I didn't say too much. I just listened. Then out of that grew something else. Doss began to meet some of his, quote, converts, end quote. Some stuck, some didn't. And the some that didn't, he was ashamed of. And he began to see the importance of follow-up. So that was the fourth. And this matter of follow-up, some of you are too young in the Lord, at least, to have followed this the last 10, 15 years. But I think it's safe to say that Doss made the term and the principle of follow-up accepted in Christian circles around the world. An evangelist went to Latin America a couple of years ago for a crusade, and I got word back that the nationals wanted to know, will you have follow-up like the navigators have? Joe Blanco, an evangelist in England, said that he's, ever since Haringey, the meetings there with the Billy Graham team in 54, he's never gone to one meeting anywhere in all of England, but what someone has come up and said, I was a counselor, either trained for Haringey or Wembley or for the relays. If you're going to have an invitation, I'm here. And often at times they had some of their friends who also were counselors and said that we'll be very happy to help if you'd like. And I myself have seen this around the world, the impact of this matter of follow-up. However, there's a capstone on this, and that is the unique aspect. These other things are not necessarily unique, but that is the term that was called producing reproducers. And this came in about the mid-40s, as far as the Navigators was concerned. And now this, having our overall objective then, has to do with the uniqueness, the capstone on this whole business, this matter of producing reproducers. Now, Doss was a strong believer in the fact that the gospel ought to get to every creature in our generation. And he saw that the chief bottleneck was laborers. And he saw the necessity of training them one by one, because in his observation, and I could give some of these illustrations, he saw that, by and large, the people that really got into strategic places of leadership and greatly used of the Lord, somewhere along the line, had the impact of some one person's life in theirs. And that he saw, however, people say, now that's too slow, this one by one. But you can multiply this thing by getting that one to repeat the process in another, and that one to repeat the process in another. And so he coined the term to produce reproducers. Produce men who in turn win others, help them to grow, who would win others and help them to grow, and win others and help them to grow. If you haven't heard a sermon on that, you will before the summer's through. Now, it was pointed out, as we discussed it, that the unique part is this matter of producing reproducers. And we agree that we're unique at least in propounding the theory, if not in demonstrating the fact. So we came to the overall objective of the Navigators. Well, it ought to line up with God's specific instructions to the disciples in the Great Commission, shouldn't it? And we feel it does. Now, that was the history. Then we just took brief, we try to analyze the situation in the world today, what's going on, what the church is doing and what not doing. And we came to this conclusion. The church leaders today say that the lost are not being reached because the lay people of the church are not being properly trained. That this is the greatest single need today in Christendom. The training of a spiritually qualified laity. This, by the way, is the theme of our conference with the pastors beginning next Monday night. Here's some illustrations, real quickly. And Sparks said that in Europe, 90% of the church is working with the 10% that are favorable to Christianity. Who's after the other 90%? Billy Graham, in a conference on evangelism in Switzerland last summer, said that although there have been great crusades and sowing of the word in the last 10 years, that until there was a hard core of laymen, skilled in scripture, men of prayer, fervent in evangelism, reproducing themselves in a chain reaction, there will not be a significant breakthrough. And the leaders there met with him unanimously agreed that this was the case. Well, I've got a quote here from the General Secretary of the Church of South India, Ken Strachan, Latin American Mission, saying that this is what's necessary in Latin America. Dr. Munger, Berkeley, the cutting edge of the gospel will be put into the hands of the layman. So as we reviewed the way God had apparently led us, what we think to be a great need today, and that the great need is to reach people through trained laymen, that laymen then should be trained to reproduce. And it's to this particular point that we have given ourselves. Now, in trying to define this objective, this is all leading up to then, what is the overall objective of the Navigators? You know, the first principle of war is to maintain the objective. Well, we thought we'd better get our objective first before we know how to proceed from there. Dick Hillis and Clyde Taylor here, they pointed out that the unique thing about the Navigators is producing reproducers. And they kept hammering away on this at us. But one thing we certainly agreed on as we sat around the table, that Doss's vision that he had and the Navigator vision is a developing thing, and it's hard to define in writing. And we went round and round and round. And you know what I'm going to do when I get all through telling what we said? We decided not to use it. You say, well, a whole evening just to tell us you didn't use it. Well, it'll be worth it. Wait till I get to it here. I'm just building up to this great climax, this overall objective, this statement, and then I tell you we're not going to use it. As it stands, because we couldn't be agreed. But this is not a simple little thing. People say, well, now, why don't you just say it, simple language? Good deal. You help us, will you? You want a little stuff to start with? Well, here's the background material. We're with you. Sure, that'd be worth quite a bit of money to us to have this stated simply and directly. So it said what we wanted and the way we wanted it said in a way that would strike everybody right and still have a razor edge to it. And we agreed that it was hard to define. And you know, the interesting thing is that talking about Doss Trotman, he was skittish about defining it. Because oftentimes if you define a thing, people think they have it wrapped up in a nice little box and this is it. And you've got the mental grasp, you can even preach on it, but it hasn't really gotten a hold down here. And he saw that so often when you can do it this way, and the people say, well, I've got it, but it doesn't have them. So, by the way, a little out, if you don't know how to define a thing, say to a person, well, I can't define it, but I think maybe I can describe it. See, that's a little easy way out. You know, I'm going to give them a description. But after much discussion, the following was submitted. If you want to put this down for posterity, you're welcome to do so. This is it. The overall objective of the Navigators is to contribute to the fulfillment of the Great Commission by producing reproducers in every nation. The overall objective of the Navigators is to contribute to the fulfillment of the Great Commission by producing reproducers in every nation. Got it? Reason I give this to you, you might like to just wrestle with this yourself and say maybe you like this idea. Maybe you'll come up with something that will state it the way it ought to be. How many hours do you think we actually spend on this? Would you have any way of guessing, Roy? What would you say, just on this one?
Well, we spent the first week and most of the third week.
Yeah, that's a kick, isn't it? But what it did, boy, we don't have it in the words we want, but I can tell you this, it really got in our hearts what we're talking about. We haven't found the succinct way of saying it yet. But we know deep inside what it is, and we know we can recognize it when it's said right. That I think we're agreed on. But it hasn't been said right yet. After further discussion, it was altered to this. The objective of the Navigators is to contribute to the fulfillment of the Great Commission by producing reproducers and assisting others to produce reproducers in every nation. Because the first one looked like we were going to do the whole thing. And then we were going to suggest, or we did, of saying that, well, the purpose of the Navigators is to help produce reproducers. Now, here is the problem with what we have here, at least the first one. It's pretty narrow objective. And I'll explain it in a minute more. And furthermore, if this is the kind of a thing we're going to put in a brochure, I think I'd have a little difficulty explaining this to Christian readers, how the navigators are going to produce reproducers in every nation. It sounds a little arrogant. We don't mean it this way. That isn't the idea. But this is one reason we're not using it. And as we pointed out, it may be that Hillis and Taylor pointing this out to us, that this was a unique aspect of the navigators, we thought, well, maybe we yielded to a little bit too much pressure to even use the term producing reproducers in the statement of our objective. But the idea, we feel, is a unique thing that we want to see done. Now, I ought to pause right here to say that this is going to clear up for you a good deal when I tell you what our 10-year objective is. First, we had an overall objective, then a 10-year, and we are agreed on our 10-year objective. And then we've got a 3 to 5 year objective. And I'll, before I get through, I'll give you both of those. Now, then also on this, there's a problem of different gifts. In the work that we have, there are men who are gifted along various lines, and not everyone has a gift along the same lines. In fact, I think that we agreed that not every Christian would become a producer of reproducers. And that we might be trying to force people into a mold that they were never intended for or could not produce and therefore frustrate. You can chew on that for a while and see if you agree with us. But we must realize that there is a God-given call. And so we want an objective that is straightforward and to the point and that will keep us headed in the right direction and still at the same time give this latitude as a service organization, as helping others to accomplish this. Because we both want to produce reproducers and we want to get other people to do the same. Now, if you... I could preach a little more on that, but that's enough on that subject. If you just wrestle with this one, and if you come up with something, why, we will be excruciated. I tell you what, for me personally, you know what I'm saying? And it isn't just because tradition, but at least for me, thus far, I am saying that the overall objective of the navigators is to contribute to the fulfillment of the Great Commission by recruiting, building, and sending laborers in the harvest field of the world. And until somebody comes up with a better one, well, that's one I'm going to stick with for a little while. Because to me, it gives a little more latitude and still keeps us on our objective. Whether this is said clearly, it gets to me, it gets in the reproduction idea. It gets in the idea that I not only build the people that I grow, my own, but I also can help build others. It gets the Glen Erie into it and the ministry here. It gets counselor help, some of these other things that God has given us to do into the picture. But do a little, give yourself an hour or two just wrestling with this. Be a healthy exercise. Interesting too. Now then, we come to our 10-year objective. The next 10 years, the objective of the navigators is to demonstrate producing reproducers in the areas where we decide to operate. To demonstrate producing reproducers in areas where we decide to operate. And the word that's capitalized and underlined in red is the word demonstrate. If we don't demonstrate, we better fold our tents like the Arabs and silently steal away. Because actually, our reputation is so far ahead of our production that I hope people don't really find out about us till we get a chance to do something. And in fact, we don't know a great deal about producing reproducers. I feel like Dawson, not too long before he died, he said, Lorne, if we're not actually right on, I believe we're close. Well, I got to feel that way. If we, I think we're close. I think we're on to something. But there's a lot we have to learn about it. A good deal. Particularly the doing part. To demonstrate. Well then, our objective for the next 3 years, particularly, is not to demonstrate producing reproducers. It isn't even to produce reproducers. It's just plain produce. That's the word. That's it. Produce what? Laborers. New laborers. How? Through evangelism, particularly personal, unprogrammed, but carefully planned, with follow-up potential. By that I mean this. You know, in evangelism, we get a program, we can hide behind some evangelistic program instead of doing personal evangelism. This is the thing to be their main emphasis. In my life, the lives of the guys were there, every area man, every overseas, you've got to have a going concern by way of evangelism. Unprogrammed in the sense that it's an artificial thing, but it's the friendship kind, and yet planned, not a helter-skelter business, with follow-up potential. I mean, it's all right to go at a bus station and as a place to get a chance to witness, and that's better than nothing, but it doesn't have the greatest follow-up potential. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do this. I think street evangelism and so on, is the best thing is for the evangelist. Teaches him you can talk to people. But we are looking for places of the greatest potential. And then to bring Christians in that want to be recruited on the backwash of evangelism. Because we found that if you start with Christians, you get a nice little group of Christians together, and they could be a nice little group of Christians for years enjoying one another. But if you're out on an evangelistic thrust and doing something, then you can bring these Christians in and there'll be some vitality and virility to the thing, to some experience. And where do we think are the areas of greatest potential? Wherever we can find young men and women. And our survey with Clyde Taylor and the knowledge of our own fellows from overseas shows that for all practical purposes there has been virtually nothing done. This is on a worldwide scale now with university students. And we had never actually declared ourselves before as going out for university students. There's 100,000 of them in Tokyo. And there presents, how many? 300,000. Oh, is it 100,000 in Manila? 100,000 in Manila, university students. Kind of make you drool, is it, Jerry? You have to learn Japanese, though, or Tagalog. Boy. And so we expect to move into these situations overseas. And then, of course, servicemen, nurses, teachers, and young businessmen and women. And to do this, and we're in the best places we can find of available pools of manpower and womanpower. Disciple them and get them to multiply. And to take that individual person as far as he can go with his gifts and callings. And this is an important point. To help that person to develop to the full extent of their particular gifts and callings. That's what we want to do. Are we trying to make navigators? No, I said we're after laborers. Are we trying to make Leroy Imes or Skip Grays or Bob Fosters? No, we're trying to help each person to grow to the maturity and full use of the particular gifts and callings that God has given them. This is very important. And a real grasp of this would stop this business of, well, boy, she's not like she is, or he's not like he is. Well, of course not. next 10 years is to demonstrate producing reproducers in areas where we decide to operate. And I could get the map here and show you, and I will maybe one night, of what we think are the priority areas in the States and overseas for the next 5 to 10 years, where we'd like to get people. We've got a list of these. And now what this means is that we'll have to measure everything by this criteria, every activity, every contact, every conference, every speaking date. How is this going to relate to our objective? Now, I could take another 30 minutes and tell you how the Glen Erie training program relates to this objective, and we probably will one night. Because what we do should relate to this objective, right? Or else, let's get rid of it. Unless we decide our objective isn't what we really wanted. But after we got one, we're going to stick with it. Then I listed here some things that we expect of a navigator representative. First of all, a personal life that's growing in the knowledge of God. Secondly, a scriptural family life that's related to a local church. Thirdly, a personal ministry, primary ministry. And as we said to the area men, you must produce, not your men, but you, me. Not even just through our men, but us, as individuals. Fourth, then make a contribution to the body of Christ at large in your sphere of influence. We're not looking for activities, but results. Not how many meetings do we have, how many came to the conference, but what results. And so right now, the underscored word is produce. For the 10 years, the underscored word is demonstrate, produce, reproducers. But right now, you can just say produce. So we have fastened upon ourselves a rather specific objective. And it's to this end we're praying and planning and working. Okay? I hope this is not too tedious, but trying to figure out some way to communicate that which we discussed all those days over there in the pink house and your brain for us. And next week, I want to take up, for instance, I know it'll be next week, but one of these Thursday nights, I want to take up the matter of the church and from the Bible. Where does an outfit like this fit? Is there a scriptural basis for this? And some of these other questions. We have about 30 conclusions that we came to in the conference. I don't know if I'll get to all of them, but we'll get some of them anyway. And if there's any question that you have on any of these, if you can hand them in to one of us, and then maybe we can clarify them the next time we get together for Glen Erie Night. But unless something unforeseen happens, we'll meet here at 7:15 next Thursday night, and we'll share some more things with you from the dictionary. This great big thick book. These sermons are all this long, you'll think I'm actually reading it, won't you? Let's pray, shall we? Chet Dyke, would you lead us, please?